The Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Welcome to Desert Island Discs. You're with me, Flavia Tumsime. Every single Sunday, 7 to 8, we profile success. People who tell their stories and their brands and teach us a thing or two about how to get onto that path of success. Stick to it, don't give up, and you really never know what could come out of it. Today, my guest is slightly different from the usual politicians, musicians, and this is actually a medical director, a CEO, and a doctor for aesthetics, but his journey in the medical world has moved by and large. Today, he's the CEO at Victoria University Healthcare Center in Kampala and also runs his own aesthetics hospital. Dr. Chirag Koteka, welcome to Desert Island Discs. Yeah. I don't imagine you get many interviews.
I've had a few, but yeah, it's been a while since I've not had. Do get quite a few interviews because I'm also involved heavily in the community.
Right.
Our Luhana community is nearby.
Yes, right,
Luhana
right
school.
Close to us.
So I'm the chairman of the school, school board. I'm a trustee of the community. We've got a lot of properties around Kampala, so yeah, I get involved there.
Okay.
So not only professionally, yeah, in my profession where I get interviewed for what services I offer,
right,
but for the community per se, health and safety. During COVID, I got called upon a lot about guidance, yeah, awareness, yeah, reporting COVID to the community at large, Indian community at large. So yeah, yes, I do.
So you are a medical doctor. What's your specialty? You came in scrubs for this interview.
They're comfortable to wear, first of all.
Yes.
So I've got different scrubs for the operating theater.
So these scrubs are blue. And
I've got different colors.
Okay.
This is my favorite blue.
I thought a color represents where you are, what you can do.
No, I mean, usually in the operating theater, in a strict hospital environment, yes, there's different scrubs for different environments.
Right.
But nowadays, we just, if you're sensible about what you're wearing,
yes,
you don't contaminate. You don't take theater scrubs out.
Okay, so these are your chilling.
These are my chilling or outpatient sort of seeing patients.
Because okay, you don't even have the Crocs, so no, it's not a full look. Sorry, your specialty, you say?
So I'm into aesthetics. So my initial specialty was accident and emergency. Mm-hmm. I trained in England. So went to medical school there in London, trained over there, moved to Uganda in 2011 or 12.
Wow.
And before I moved, I started working on aesthetics, so cosmetic medicine, which
absolutely
is a specialized field there.
Well, we'll,
and I do that here.
We'll get to that story. So Desert Island Disc is really getting to know somebody and sort of piecing together how they became who they are today and their success journey. So I always start with your early childhood. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you want us to start, and then we can build your story from there.
I was born in this part of the world, so you can
really
start wherever. I was
not
born
here.
In Kenya, a place called Kisumu, Kenya, on the other side,
yes,
of the pond. Born there in 1981. Mm-hmm. Lived in a joint family, big family. So I'm my dad and his brothers were living together with my grandfather. So
oh,
it was a family household of like 15, 20 people,
wow,
at any one time.
So you have grandparent, uncle, dad, mom,
correct,
aunties.
My
everybody.
Grandparents have passed on since, but yes, my mm-hmm uncle and aunt have in Uganda. I've got others in Kenya also.
Wow.
But growing up, early years, till I was about 13, 14, mm-hmm, one household.
And you're the first?
I'm the first in that generation. I mean, I've got an elder cousin, but he never lived with us. He was in another town.
Right.
So I was sort of the eldest in this cohort.
Setting. Yeah, because then how do you even, like, everyone is together. You don't really separate that.
I'm third generation Kenyan.
Yeah.
Born, brought up. My father's born there as well. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was born in Kenya as well. And I would say it was because we were sort of coming up in a business sort of setting, and education was not so much a priority for my parents at that time. I mean, for me it was. My parents made sure I got educated, but their parents didn't want them educated.
Yeah, okay, so they weren't.
So it was,
yeah,
creating a business environment, mm-hmm, getting into the shop or trading business in the factory, whatever it was, mm-hmm, and they all hands on deck,
wow,
to develop the sort of business together.
For,
so they,
yeah,
live together, they work together, and everything.
That should be a good influence, having so many people around.
It was. It is.
Yeah.
I do thank that a lot.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very adaptable.
Okay.
Being the eldest, obviously, I was looked upon a lot by
to
my siblings and my cousins and everybody. So, I mean, when I went to the UK to study as well, I was the guardian to my sister, my brother, my cousins, representing them in school because the family stayed back. We all sent off to boarding school in Turi earlier, initial years, in St. Andrews Turi,
yeah,
in Kenya, then off to England.
St. Andrews Turi today, I mean, may not be as popular because maybe perhaps great schools in that caliber have come up.
Yes.
But it was the in thing.
It was. And when I grew up in Kisumu, also, we didn't have much schooling sort of structure. Mm-hmm. I remember in my early years, I was one of three children in the classroom, for example.
Whoa.
in a private school. I was in a private international American-based school in Kisumu. So there was two grades in one class, probably as big as our studio here.
Yeah.
Bigger. You'd have four or five children there.
Four or five.
One in grade five, one in two, three in grade six.
What?
So it was a bit, I mean, it was different. And then I moved on to Turi at the age of 13 in sort of grade six.
Was it fun?
A lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoy. I think if out of my whole schooling career, I would say my my sort of S1 to S3, my O-level years were the best. I think most
Turi days. Were you, you know, into sports? I don't know.
Sports. So yes, rugby was there. It was also being away from home a little bit per se. But I mean, the growing up in a bigger classroom, more exposure, friends, first girlfriend.
Oh, bless. I'm like, should you say that? Because I was all level. So,
I was 16.
Oh, yes. That's about like our version of S4,
yes.
S3, thereabout. Oh, wow. Okay. What's your first song choice?
My first song choice, let's start, I don't know, as we're getting into it, I would say let's start with something relaxing. Let's start with Hotel California by Eagles, I would say.
Good selection.
Been a while since I've heard it as well.
Okay.
Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
You, in the first part, were, you know, you went to St. Andrew's Turi. It was the fun part of school anyway, because now you had more people around you.
Yes.
Although, I mean, you were coming from a family where there was lots of people around
you. This is a classroom, so big.
But also, it's family. Family we never appreciate when we're much younger. You want to be around other people, create other bonds. Because at that age, you're a teenager. What kind of teenager were you? I mean, did you already figure out your ambitions?
Well, I was very studious. I mean, used to get awards every year in school.
So
more than the sports, yes. Study was there.
Okay.
I was captain of the swimming team. So I was a swimmer. I used to wake up at 6 o'clock every morning swimming. So which has stayed
dedication
with me. I don't swim as much now. Sorry?
Dedication.
Yes. So I was cold swimming pool. Education wise, so sciences were very strong with me.
Right.
Chemistry, biology, physics, for example. I got A stars at that time.
Mm-hmm.
A star. We didn't have double A stars or certain things
at that time.
And I was the sort of top grades in my class for sciences and certain other things. Languages are hard, or has always been.
Really?
But I used to be in a lot of detention. I think I spent a lot of my life in detention.
You had no interest?
No, detention was because of music. I think I was forced into music. per se, like piano lessons.
Yeah.
And the school had a weird rule that if you had to be called out of your classroom for your music lesson, one-to-one piano lessons were during your normal school time. And if the piano teacher had to come and get you from class, you were put into detention.
Meaning you had to know your schedule and sort of show up.
Responsibility. So I used to get into detention for that. So that was Saturday night. You missed the movie night. Sit in detention.
Did you intentionally forget?
No, I mean, sometimes intentionally or non-intentionally.
Yeah.
And then sometimes Sundays also used to be in double detention because some days, because I used to swim, like I said.
Yeah.
I didn't used to have to swim every day.
Right.
And on certain days I would sleep in and miss breakfast. And breakfast, obviously, in an English particular boarding school.
Right.
Was very important. And the dorm master would come in and to check in the rooms. And if they found you in bed at breakfast time, that was another detention.
And say, Chirag didn't have breakfast?
Several, no, I didn't. Sometimes.
And that's a thing?
Sometimes I didn't. Now, now difficult.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, but I'm imagining, that's what kind of level of privilege am I being punished for not having breakfast? At my own will, by the way.
Oh, you do?
No, I mean, at my own will, correct. If I don't want to have breakfast, then what's anyways? That's crazy. You said for my generation, it was important that I went to school. But for the generation before me, which is my father, it wasn't that important for them to go to school. But did they?
My dad, I think, has studied up till, I would say, senior one. So first year of senior school. Never finished his O levels. I think it might be too much.
Okay.
I don't even think he finished end of primary.
Wow.
But he's very, very mathematically talented.
Gifted.
Mm. He's fantastic with his mathematics. Mm-hmm. Runs a successful business in Kenya. I'm a doctor. My sister's a doctor in Chicago in the USA.
Wow.
My brother's a businessman in Nairobi. Mm-hmm. We're all well settled. So, he and my mom did a fantastic job raising
us. And mom?
Mom was working in a bank from the age of, say, I would say 17, 18. Didn't finish school. And then love marriage between them at that time was also unheard of. They dated for several years.
A love marriage being they chose each other?
They dated for about 4 years before they got married.
Wow.
Yes.
I wonder how their paths crossed anyway. One's in banking, the other's in...
I've never asked that actually.
You should
ask. Because my dad was actually born and lived in a place called Kakamega, which is a small sort of town village outside Kisumu. My mom was a sort of city girl or town girl at that time. So I'm sure my dad used to come to Kisumu all the
and
time.
Say, and say these cool people, yeah? Oh, that's fun. No, because I asked the academics that I'm wondering how you... Because outside of excelling, some people excel because they're gifted. Mm-hmm. Others excel because they actually are gifted but keep the interest. And sometimes when you don't have a family background that is very, educated or highly educated, you might not necessarily push yourself. Why were you pushing yourself?
Well, for me, I didn't... For coming back from boarding school in Turia, every holiday used to come home and I'd have to sit in the shop. So one of the businesses I had was a shop selling merchandise, so soaps, toothpaste.
The kiosks we have today.
A bit bigger than that.
Mm. Oh, wholesale. Okay.
So the sugar and milk and whatever
like
it was.
Like a mini-mart.
Mini-mart, quite a big one. And wholesales, mostly. Mm. And I used to sit at the counter. And I didn't see myself doing this long term.
And because you're a teenager at this point.
It was forced upon me. I mean, it was a responsibility. So my grandfather still, at that time, I still remember a comment where my grandfather said, why does he need to study? And my mom had to fight for us to go to school.
Your grandfather was asking. I mean, there's a
my
business.
My father said, just sit in the shop and take over the business and continue the legacy and build it up more.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was like, no, mother was saying, push, study, get educated.
See what you can
do. Don't
become.
Know how it's going to happen to this. Mm. So that pushed me. And then I went off to boarding school in England at the age of sort of 18, 17, 18. And at that time, still didn't know what I want to do.
We didn't.
Didn't. I was doing, again, I did 4A levels, so maths, chemistry, biology, physics.
Mm.
And then one of my, again, boarding school, a place called Rugby School I went to in England. And one of the new students there with me said he wanted to be a doctor. And I said, okay, so will I.
Wow.
And my mom was there. Oh, that is my dream. I'm happy you chose that. So that's when my
but mom had never told you that was her dream.
She did briefly, but I mean, I'd not decided per se by then. I knew it was something in the sciences.
Because obviously then, we're good at that and you were pursuing that.
And then I chose the medical path and career.
Yeah.
Thinking it was all glorious.
It wasn't?
Well, it has its tough times. Mm. I mean, especially in emergency medicine when you're working crazy shifts, night shifts.
What does emergency medicine mean? Because
accident. So that's an A&E. So in
the ER.
ER. Strokes, heart attacks to broken legs. And here I'll tell you a story when we get to it about my experience at Mulago. When I moved here to Uganda,
I worked
for 6 months at Mulago ER.
So and you have to study how long does were 5 years?
I did 5 years. I did a degree in genetics in between. So there's 5 years of med school, but between that, you get an option to take what we call a 1 year out to do an intercalated BSc. Mm-hmm. A Bachelor of Science normally takes 3 years.
Yeah.
But for medics, because we've got that capability, we get to do it in 1 year. But I got a scholarship to do it in 1 year. I got a foundation, a fund paid me to do a degree in genetics, medical genetics, which I did in the UK, then didn't pursue that anymore.
So you dropped that and then do
I
what?
I dropped that. So finished, yes, continued medical school, okay. Then had to work around. So when at the end of medical school, I wanted to do orthopedic surgery.
That's our bones.
Bones, yes.
Yes.
That changed when I went to ER, accident and emergency.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. The different flavors that come in,
right.
Different work that comes in, but then it burns you out. Mm. At some point, it burnt me out.
Do you have what we call a 9-to-5 working hours?
So there was different shifts. So the calendar was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be night shifts, so 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. You do that for 7 days. So you don't see the daylight, especially in England, the winter. You don't see sunlight at all for like days.
You're just in the hospital.
You're in the hospital at night time. By the time you get home, you go to sleep. Sun hasn't risen. When you wake up, it's dark again. So you don't see sun for a while.
Wow.
And then you get a week off, for example, but then trying to get your timetables changed is difficult. Then you start the day shifts. There's an evening shift or twilight shift, which would say start from 4 p.m., work till midnight. So the shift work, number one, tired me out. Number two was the pressure in A&E. I mean, you've got people, sick people dying on you. And I remember there was a young 30-year-old, if he was 30 at all, came in with a headache. I mean, it's a sad story. 30-year-old headache for 2 days. We're trying to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And 4 hours later, he was gone.
Whoa.
And no history of injury, no trauma, nothing at all. Mm-hmm. He just had a cyst in his head that burst open. And that was it. So it's depressing. Certain episodes depress you.
Was that the
you.
First you had witnessed?
That was in the... I know I'd seen a few before that, but some of them were elderly, unhealthy people, diabetics, whatever. So you're expecting this. But when something comes by, it comes as a surprise like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I had a young child when I worked in Mulago. Probably I would say no more than a year old. A jealous neighbor, I don't know, in the village, burnt down the house where the daughter and son were. They thought the parents were in there.
Mm-hmm.
The young girl died in there. The young boy was brought to hospital. Mm. And I mean, at Mulago at that time, there was a doctor strike going on, and I was the only doctor. I was not being paid, so I was coming in voluntarily, paying out of pocket for certain things, medication for people. And this kid, I mean, had another doctor been available there to do something like a pediatrician, perhaps,
right.
He would have survived, but he died there. So that was another thing, and I said, this is not for me anymore.
You did that for how long?
So I did several years, I would say about 5-6 years.
Are you hanging there?
I hung in there for a while. And then moved into the field of aesthetics, which is cosmetic medicine.
Oh, that's when it started.
So I started in England, then continued training. Remember, came to Mulago here, or then applied to the medical council, and they said, we don't have this as a recognized field of medicine here.
I was about to say, what year was that?
Because 2011. Then I had to give them all the documentation. So I was the first, I remember that time, first medical cosmetic clinic in Uganda.
And just for people to understand what aesthetics is, it's not the, I just want my lips to be plump and look bigger. Just like
there's that. I mean, we do work on wrinkles and pigmentation. People have pigmentation on the skin, dark, uneven skin tone, wrinkles they want to get rid of. People lose hair and they want to improve the quality of the hair.
Right.
And now we've evolved more into wellness and healthcare where we do make you feel better. So there's the look part. We make you look better. That's aesthetics. So head to toe hair growth. Wrinkle treatment.
So can someone come from being bald like my colleague Gaetano?
Depends.
And then get a head full of hair?
You need a hair transplant for that. Or if you're losing hair like me, you do something called PRP treatment to help stimulate hair growth.
Right.
So that's the hair part. We look at, so it make you look better, feel better. We work on energy levels. We do a lot of IV vitamin therapy.
Yeah,
I don't know if you come about that. So I introduced a lot of these into Uganda. We give you multivitamins as a drip, a different cocktail. So we got cocktails for diabetics, hypertensives. To make you look better, if your skin lightening or brightening, better than those hydroquinones people use, or lightening creams. Then we also talk about sexual health and performance. It's a problem which is not talked about. Men and women also have issues with achieving or maintaining sexual confidence or whatever it may be, and erections or lubrication. So we help with all that.
It's not just looking good, it's feeling.
So we look at that, then hormone replacement therapy with bioidentical hormones, with plant-based hormones I do a lot of, hair restoration, hair removal. So there's a whole host of services in aesthetics.
Okay. And Why that direction? I mean, I would have, wouldn't have come from an emergency room to
well,
to
I do
aesthetics.
Have a lot of it's voluntary. People want to come and spend their money happily and voluntarily to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sick and unwell. They're not moody. So you're dealing with healthy, well
patients.
It's
a good business.
So that's the business part of it.
Mm.
I do train all the time in the US. I'm a master injector in the USA. I'm qualified and board certified from the US for this.
Right.
I do training in the UAE, in Dubai. Recently did my recent training in Turkey, mm-hmm. where I do liposuction and fat transfer
yeah.
for people. So
where a lot of Ugandans are running
Brazilian
to
butt lifts and
to look different, I'll call
so
it that.
Advanced training. But and even there where I go, I've got this neurosurgeons, orthopedic surgeons I've met and come across who are doing similar things I am doing.
Mm.
Because they're burnt out. The pay might pay is better here. I mean, you do there's potential for earning a lot more money.
Yeah, like you said, people come to you when they're okay.
Correct. And they voluntarily spend money. They save up or they do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of doctors. Recently, I met an ENT surgeon who now does what I do. And this is in the US.
Wow.
Italian. Sorry. She's an Italian doctor I met in the USA.
Who did a shift.
Shift. So
wow.
You get a lot of these doctors shifting out of the mainline traditional medical fields.
Mm-hmm.
There are still some people who do that. We have to do that anyway. You have to be a doctor to do what I'm doing.
Mm.
You can't go straight into what I'm doing unless you've done a lot of...
Oh, right. So I can't just wake up and say I'm
I mean, you
I'm
could, but
study
would,
it.
Would you be able to... Would you be confident? Would you know the facial anatomy?
Mm.
Would you need to know what you're doing or why it's being done.
Right.
Before you can prescribe it to somebody. Because you can... Okay, you might easily want to know how to inject Botox, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But what if there's complications that happen now? You need to know the anatomy, the physiology of the body...
Mm.
How to handle the complications.
Right.
So I tell patients when people go to somebody who knows what they're doing, not only because they say they can do it for cheaper, but they know tomorrow if there's a complication, God forbid, do you want to go to somebody who's spent 6 months studying this and now injecting things into you?
Yeah.
Or somebody like me who's spent years,
and years and experienced.
Correct.
As well. It makes sense. I want to hear about how you ended up even wanting to come to Uganda, but your second song choice.
Second song. Let's talk about that. While we're talking, we come to Uganda. Shakira, It's Time for Africa. Then we
Shakira.
Talk about It's Time for Africa.
Okay.
Because when I listen to that, my son listens to it a lot these days.
Oh.
He likes it.
Interesting.
Waka
and it's
Waka.
Not that
this is Waka Waka, right?
Waka
yes.
Waka. Nice.
You're a good soldier, choosing your battle. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fall, get up, oh, oh, and if you fall, get up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. This time for Africa. Listen to your God, this is our motto. Your time to shine, don't wait in line, vamos por todo. People are raising their expectations. Go on a feed and this is your moment, no hesitation. Today's your day, I feel it. You pave the way, believe it. If you get down, get up, oh, oh. When you get down, get up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. This time for Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa. Anawa, ah, ah. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. It's time for Africa.
I'm way on my journey, biggie, biggie mama, 1 A to Z. My teeth are still on my journey, biggie, biggie mama, from east to west. My teeth, waka, waka, my eh, eh. Waka, waka, my eh, eh. Tongue is in so mazibu, yeah. Cause this is Africa.
Desert Island Discs on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
Dr. Chirag, you're in the UK for that long. Your family is... Well, you're Kenyan, to be honest. How do you end up in Uganda?
My funny story. Hmm. I used to come to Uganda in the 90s. My parents and my uncle actually expanded business into Uganda in the 1990s.
Right.
Used to come here on holiday all the time.
Hmm.
I loved it. Kampala was between Kisumu and Nairobi for me. I mean, in the sense of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Small enough, but not so big, such a city as Nairobi. Mm-hmm. Nairobi in the 90s used to be scary. A lot of theft and robbery, so I didn't like going there. And my brother was here. And then after I graduated and after I worked in England, when I was debating moving here, my brother then moved to Nairobi. And he said, okay, if you move to Nairobi, I'm leaving. It's either you or me in the same city.
Oh, we can't exist so can't, together.
So then I said, okay, Kampala. Because, I mean, it was a sad time in my life. Just before I moved, a couple of years before I moved, I was married and I had a divorce.
Is this in the UK?
In the UK. So I was married and then got divorced. So, I mean, at that time, I was not in, my head wasn't in the right place. Mm. The down of life, which happens to everybody. Then
did the hours at work contribute to?
Correct. So working all that, it's part of it, big part of it. Mm. And then decided that, look, I need a change. Change in scenery, change in life.
Mm.
And obviously my family was here. My parents were still in Kenya. My brother was in Nairobi. My uncle and aunt were here. Mm. And I said, let's move.
So you chose here?
I chose Kampala intentionally because of the family business. I mean, we still have a lot of businesses here.
Mm-hmm.
As a family, we have an international school. Mm-hmm. We have a big milk. Lotto Milk is our family business.
Oh, great. I had some of that in the morning, so now
got,
I know.
Rainbow International School. So we had businesses here. We were known in the community.
Okay.
So for me, shifting here was also an easier step. I had friends and family already here.
Okay. Any children from that relation?
Clean break from the first
business. Oh, okay. We laugh now, but it's probably a wise thing to say, clean break. I mean, I've often heard that there's certain jobs where you really can't have a relationship or maintain a relationship. You can get into one. And I know people in the media are always first to be bashed as well because of the proximity to, you know, the public opinion. And they'll say, oh, it's hard to maintain a relationship. But doctors also fall into that because of the hours and how gruesome. I mean, I think about how many times I've had to call my gynecologist pregnant. And I feel sad for him because I said, I mean, if I want him to show up at midnight if I'm not well, you think about what's his life like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? During COVID, I saw how much time he had to put in and not even go home. And I imagine you can't ask a man like that to have a family and settle down because how?
No, so totally, the funny thing you said about the phone, I mean, as doctors, we're conditioned. So my wife now will tell you, those times when earlier on, we have children now.
Yeah.
Early on in her pregnancy or when my first child was young, she would try to wake me up at night, like shake me up, shout, switch on the lights, and I would not budge.
Yeah.
But that ring, the ring of the phone.
The phone.
Before one ring has gone, I picked it up. You're conditioned to hear that.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So, sorry to all our doctors. We have to apologize for that. But so your family had, business set up. School, you said, Rainbow, which still actually stands still today. Lotto Milk, isn't that a new?
It's been there for several years, but yes, it's one of the big milk processing plants.
Yes. And so it was obvious if you're going to make a new, start a new journey, this was going to be the place to start.
Correct.
And so you came straight into what?
So I came in and I had to work at Mulago Hospital for some time to understand. I worked there for several months in the ER. Again, that when I realized.
By choice?
That was my choice.
Mm-hmm.
And to get my licensing again done for Uganda because I didn't work in or study in this environment.
Yes.
And then.
Is that the natural order that you would have to?
It depends. It depends what you want to do.
Right.
But I wanted to go into emergency medicine here as well. So I said, let me experience this ER setting here. And the best and the highest volume place was Mulago.
Mulago.
So I used to do the day shifts. I never did a night shift here. But day shifts. So my day used to start with handling border accidents, or the scariest one was a man who walked in with a panga in his head.
No.
And he was walking around like there's nothing wrong. So he'd been attacked. He was a thief. And had been attacked in the night or
the
tried
mob.
To rob somebody, mobbed him. They put a panga in his head. Police had brought him in. And you're there trying to settle all these things.
And you don't, okay, maybe I don't know now, but did you speak the language?
No,
at
I still
all?
Don't.
You still don't speak?
Swahili. I speak Swahili.
But not the Luganda.
Not Luganda.
And I'm assuming the emergency room in Mulago.
But see, the thing is that the beauty of Uganda and Kampala especially was that a lot of people are, the English is good. I mean, they speak English. We have a high literacy rate.
Yes.
As a country, so which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so I could get my way around.
Yeah.
With the nurses and they could translate for me. But I remember coming up in the hospital, no doctors sometimes. They've gone on strike. The nurses are handling the department.
Yes.
There's no handovers like I'm used to. So we don't know if a patient has been given the medication or not. And you're left scrapping around. Information was written on a piece of paper. One is covered in blood. One is flown away.
Wow.
So it was, I think things have changed. So they're much better now.
Mm.
And then I realized there was need for healthcare, private healthcare, which was there. some small hospitals were there, Nakasero Hospital was there, for example. So then I started working at the surgery for briefly. And then I realized that, okay, this, I want to stay here longer. I want to expand and I want to become a healthcare businessman.
Okay.
So I first started my skin clinic. At the time, partnered with a doctor from Nairobi and put up a clinic called Avane Skin Clinic on Acacia.
Yeah. I must say, it's not that far from Capital FM.
It was there, so I've changed it. It's no longer there.
You've moved it?
I moved now to Forest Mall.
Renamed
it to Avane, then I renamed it to Refine Skin and Body Clinic.
Right.
Which is in South Sudan and in Rwanda now. Once I set up that clinic, then I got an opportunity to buy a running clinic called Victoria University Healthcare Center.
Yes.
Which is on the opposite the museum on Kira Road.
Yes.
So I bought that. As a family, we bought that and slowly built it up. And now we've got UMC Victoria Hospital.
Is it Victoria Medical Center?
No, now it's UMC Victoria Hospital.
UMC,
in Bukoto.
Yes. So
then there was a cardiac hospital. I bought that.
I think for Ugandans, how we get to know places, opposite B+.
Yes, opposite B+.
And that's how we direct Ugandans.
Yes, so there's opposite B+, UMC Victoria Hospital, yes. Multi-speciality hospital. Does a lot of services from dialysis, emergency medicine,
right.
Operating theatres and so on. Mm-hmm. So I've got that. It's one of the big five hospitals now, in private hospitals in Uganda.
Yeah.
And then I've got a partner there who handles that.
Okay, because I was gonna say you can't be in all places at the same time.
So then I focus on my skin and aesthetic business.
When you started Avane, what year was that?
2012.
Still, I don't think you were coming to a country where we absolutely appreciated.
I mean, I remember I used to do Botox, for example, now, which is very common. I used to have one Botox patient a month.
And let's just explain what Botox is, because I also know it as just you put an injection in your face.
Medication
and
that sort of softens
expands.
The muscles in the face. No, not expand. That's fillers. That's hyaluronic acid. So Botox is a medication you inject, say, in the forehead muscles to help reduce the wrinkles. You can inject it under the armpits.
Yes.
To reduce sweating.
Sweat, yeah. Some people say they don't want to sweat at all.
Yes.
Why would you not want to sweat?
It reduces. No, people. It's not about this patients or people in corporate setting, especially who, when they go give presentations, they've got the sweat patches. Men and women have the sweat patches
when they're
under
nervous.
Arms, they're scared. Or not even when they're nervous. It could be all the time. So you can inject that and it helps them feel more confident. You know that sweaty feeling all the time.
Right. Is that permanent?
No, it's not permanent. It lasts between 6 to 9 months and have to repeat it.
That's a long time. So, exactly. So you were coming into a country that I don't think really, first of all, not appreciated, didn't understand it.
Yes.
And probably if anybody explained it, I mean, just last year, a friend of mine shared that she had actually gone and to Turkey to get, is that liposuction? When they work on your tummy area,
yes.
To just put it back to...
Or a tummy tuck, yes.
Tummy tuck, yes. And then she said she worked on her breasts and everything. And I mean, I understood it. I said, good for you. I'm happy for you. But in my mind, a typical Ugandan, I thought, you could have died. That's
well,
all I'm thinking
risks. Okay,
about.
Botox has no risk because it's a very, very safe medication. Like I said, if you're qualified and trained, don't go to anybody who's not qualified. It's been there for a long time. But for the tummy tuck, any surgery, you could be going in for giving birth or tonsils removal. You can still
and
have.
And something happens.
Because the risk of the anesthesia. So it's not all risk. So we tell you about all that. You have to understand it as a patient, what are the risks and benefits, what you want to achieve. And in a good medical setting, I mean, the risks are very, very negligible, especially in the surgical procedures.
Yeah.
Unless something really bad happens with the anesthesia, or you bleed to death and the doctor doesn't know what they're doing, this is really safe.
But you were having one Botox patient a month.
Yes, at the beginning. Now I do them daily.
Really? No way.
Yes, daily.
But if you do a Botox, for example, someone says they want their face to stay a certain way and stay young, looking young and vibrant, the Botox has to happen a couple
every
of times.
Every sort of 4 to 6 months.
4 to 6 months.
But again, you make it look natural. You don't want it to look too artificial or too fake and overdo it.
Whereas they say, I think I've seen that on TV where someone laughs, but their face doesn't laugh.
They've done too much.
But does it go off at a certain point?
It wears off. It starts wearing off over time.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no, if you keep repeating every 4 to 6 months, you can have it indefinitely. And in time, the interval between treatments is longer.
Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has evolved. So what's changed? Because how then do you market such a business to us?
Social media, radio, word of mouth is the biggest.
And you didn't get any backlash of people being very traditional in the sense?
I still do. It's not something it's still there. And I mean, it's not just unique to me. It can happen anywhere.
Right.
So since I started, I mean, there's other clinics now doing it. So it shows that as it's becoming more popular, other providers are coming, which is good. That means there's more services to offer people. not only the Botox side, the IV vitamin therapy, the body shaping, there's other, the liposuction, etc. So when I first started, I was the only one doing it.
Right.
Tavani. But since then, we've had people coming in and doing it, which is fantastic. Educating more people.
Is bleaching also part of what?
I don't do bleaching. Mm-hmm. I do skin lightening, yes.
Oh,
but
skin
without
lightening.
Bleaching. Bleaching is when you use hydroquinone or bleaching materials.
Mm.
That is very unsafe. It's a very common practice in Uganda, especially downtown. And by the time I see some of the patients who've been on that journey, they've damaged their skin. Mm. And then they expect wonders. I mean,
miracles.
It's hard. You've been using these creams and damaged your skin for 10, 15 years. Don't expect me to change it in 10 days or 10 months. It takes some time.
Whoa. When we say plastic surgery, it's different from what you do.
So we have a plastic surgery department, yes. So as I said, they complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic surgery, when you say use the word surgery, mm-hmm. it is use of a scalpel, cutting, so tummy tuck, breast implants.
That all falls under
surgery. Mm-hmm. Whenever you cut, there's plastic surgery. So that needs a different specialization. Mm. What I do, yes, I do a bit of liposuction. I'm trained in that now. I can do the Brazilian butt lifts again with surgery. But aesthetics is use of non-invasive procedures.
Non-invasive. Wow.
So we've got fat freezing procedures or fat dissolving injections to help dissolve fat rather than sucking it out.
Oh.
I've got medication that helps stimulate the buttocks. So I've got patients who want to have a bigger or to
I mean, that's us Ugandans, dips, yeah. Want some hips.
or injection holes that they want to treat without surgery.
Mm.
So we've got medications that help stimulate collagen and build that up.
Interesting.
There's a lot of... There's a lot out there.
I would never have known all that. And do you feel fulfilled doing this job?
I enjoy it, yes.
Yeah?
I do enjoy it because, I mean, I do work on people's confidence and self-esteem.
Mm.
It really does work. I mean, talking about the injection holes that people have had from childhood, especially people born in the 80s and 90s.
We had a lot of malaria, and we used to get a lot of injections. Yes. My good
and
Lord.
And they've got injection holes or depressions, and they're not able to wear tight clothes or jeans or whatever. Mm. They feel very self-conscious.
Mm.
And when you restore that, it's amazing.
Someone feels better, much better or looks better.
Acne on the face that has resulted in a lot of scarring and pigmentation or dark marks. When you clean that up using the different kind of, say, chemical peels or procedures we have, that really, really improves their self-confidence, their self-worth.
Mm.
They go out and get better jobs, for example, and so on.
Wow. I can see how that's a different aspect of your job. What's your third song choice?
Third song choice. Let us evaluate this one. Now we'll talk, because I want to talk about my family in a second. Let's talk about Lionel Richie. Hello.
Hello, Lionel Richie.
You're a regular Rip Van Winkle, aren't you? What have you been doing,
you inside my mind.
It's hard to explain.
And in my dreams, I've kissed your lips a thousand times.
It's been a long time since I've been on a date.
I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello? Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. Cause you know just what to say, and you know just what to do, and I want to tell you so much. I love you. Sunlight in your hand.
Hi, Laura.
And tell you time and time again how much I care. Sometimes I feel my heart will overflow. Hello. I've just got to let you know. Cause I wonder where you are, and I wonder what you do. Are you somewhere feeling lonely, or is someone loving you? Tell me how to win your heart, for I haven't got a clue. But let me stay.
isn't good for you, baby boy. Too many memories, too many ghosts.
It's what I know. This and the can.
We could go to Florida, or we could go out west.
What are you telling me? When did this become?
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
So if you know Avane, that's how you call it.
Avane was my name before. Now,
but
I'm
now you're Refined.
Refined Skin and Body
Refined Clinic. Refined Skin and Body Clinic. I think the first time I saw it right here on Acacia when it was still Avane, and I read, because you had a
big billboard, yes.
And it said what you were doing. And I think when I would read through, I'm like, no one's going there. Ugandans don't understand that. And nobody wants that. And it's just a fear, because we are the kind of country where symptoms must persist,
yes,
for you to see a doctor. You don't just have a relationship with a doctor just for the sake of
times
it.
Times are changing. That's what we educate them.
That was then. Yeah, absolutely. Now people, you know, do checkups, for example, before the end of the year. I mean, people are in tune with their health. So aesthetics as well is not just health, it's wellness, actually. It's what you look like, what you feel like. You can get solutions for all of these things. And I assume education is very key to what you do, because you must make me understand it.
Correct.
Before, you know, I do it. So do you have people walking in assuming something else and then ending up?
So I get a lot of people coming saying, I want to do this treatment. And I'm like, okay, since you're the doctor, you want to do the treatment, why are you paying my consultation fee? So I get quite common. I come and say, the patient comes and says, again, Botox is, I want Botox for my jaw.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you want to achieve? Well, this hole here, I want Botox for that. I'm like, okay, since you want Botox for that, why do you pay my consultation fee? That's not what they need. They need something else.
Okay.
So we educate them.
So the ideal is to walk in and
consult, right? Before you commit to anything, consult, discuss the procedures. Look at our website. Our website has a lot of information. Mm-hmm. Not only my website, Google. You can get everything there.
Because what you're doing is being done all over the world.
And social media, yes. Yeah. We put a lot of information on social media. Mm-hmm. Instagram is very popular in my industry. Mm-hmm. Not only for my clinics, but a lot of clinics. You'll find a host of information there.
Yeah.
Without sounding like biasing people to come to my information pages. But right. It's all there.
Right. Later on, I'll find a way to you know, get you to answer that secret of how, you know, Asian families integrate family and business, you know, the love for business, the knowledge of business in children until they grow up, because that's something that's always baffled me and I need to understand that. But let's talk about the immediate family now. Mm-hmm. You're a family man. Mm-hmm. You're married now.
So I got married. My wife's actually an investment banker from the US. We were introduced to each other in 2013. And then we dated for a while, and then we got married in 2014. And things were quick. My daughter was born 9 months later.
Whoa.
After my wedding. And my son, 2016,
were you making up for time?
After that. So we didn't, I didn't have a honeymoon, for example. We had a baby moon. My wife was 6 months pregnant. We went to Murchison Falls for our honeymoon, baby moon.
Oh dear.
So yes, married, two kids, boy and a girl, a girl and a boy, girl's older.
Okay.
Both go to school here. And my wife does a lot with the kids as in their upbringing. She gave up her career as a banker in the US and has been a homemaker. Mm-hmm. Now I think she's looking back at getting back into the career.
I was about to say, you're making it worth her while.
But now the kids are old enough now so that she can get back there.
To her dreams.
She encouraged me and supported me in my business career with my travels and everything. Somebody had to be back for the kids. Mm-hmm. When we first lived here, we lived with my uncle and aunt. So we also lived in a joint family in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we moved out into our own home in about 2017, 18. So we had that support structure. We still do, mm-hmm. with my uncle and aunt around. But kudos to my wife for what she's done with the kids.
Yeah.
What she continues to do with them. Otherwise, I would have done it and she would have had to continue the profession in the US and I would not have moved there to live there.
Wait, so you would have stayed home?
I still tell her all the time. I said, why don't you go back and you start working and I stay home and take care of the kids.
And you relax for the... Yeah? You're like...
Okay. I think it's more of a joke. I would not be able to do
you
that
wouldn't.
Or do as much as she does. But yeah. It's what she...
Because, I mean, your second... Your last is how old now?
My son is 6 years old.
Yeah, so it's all right. They're okay
they're
now.
Getting older.
Yeah, they're getting older now. And that's fulfilling? Because now you finally
fantastic.
Got to
so
have both. You got to have
it's
your...
Good. It's a full family. Although I do want more children. I wanted 5. I still tell all the time, let's have more. But she's saying no more. I do want more. However, they're good. The family life is good. Kids are at home or school. I look forward to coming home after work. Play football.
Oh, you have working days. Hours now, unlike before.
I do. So but my clinic's open 9 to 6. Thursdays we open late. Work on Sundays. So, and I travel quite a bit. But at least I'm my own boss. I can book patients now. The industry I am in, there's no emergencies, or there can be, but not as often.
Yes,
it's somebody's not going to die if I'm not there to attend to them.
Right.
So I can choose to take an afternoon off. I can choose to take them on holiday and extend my
and
holiday
extend
with
the
them.
Holiday
yes,
like
which
that.
Is important.
Good.
I can choose to travel with them when I can. Mm-hmm. When it's their holidays, I can choose to work out or book out from work, which is fantastic.
Oh, great. You've spoken in bits and pieces about how Uganda is a good choice. You said the weather, the support and all of that. So I assume it's a decision you've never looked back on and said, I regret.
Not really. Sometimes I do.
That's honest.
But no, I do. It's not because
honest.
Of Uganda per se, but I just feel sometimes when you look at it and my colleagues or people are doing similar to what I'm doing. I mean, if you look at the finances or what they make on the other side of the pond or in the US or the UK, they make a lot more. But then their expenses are a lot higher. The quality of the life. So when you weigh up everything, the what do you call it? The pasture, the green is pasture is always greener on the other side.
Yeah, the grass is always greener on the other side. Supposedly greener on the other side.
Correct. So sometimes you want it, but then you're happy with what you have, your lifestyle.
Right.
Now with the kids' education, even though we've got fantastic schooling systems here, I want them to be exposed more to competition, for example, in music or sports. Mm-hmm. If they're playing for the school, they want to be able to play with multiple other schools at that level or get to competitive levels as they would say in America or the US where they can now compete for the country or the quality of the competition it drives their improvement even further their
and
exposure to things
right and you think the exposure is less here
compared to what we see out there yes but it is getting better yes it is as our middle class is growing definitely
yes
very very important. The roads these days frustrate me to no end.
All of us.
It's something that I just can't get over in Kampala. I just don't know why the roads are just being left for themselves. But anyway, that's another.
Yes.
I don't want to get into that.
No. So I mentioned that I really wanted to hear about the business sense, you know, especially because not all of us Ugandans, I mean, I get it. We've been registered as, you know, a very entrepreneurial country. We start businesses, but after the first year, not many of them stay. And even if they do stay, not all of them are, I think the word is thriving. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted to know what the secret is. Maybe there's a secret sauce and you want to tell me what it is.
So, simple thing. Hard work, obviously. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Everybody says it all the time. You got to persevere. Second, we in our culture, there's a lot about saving. So we save a lot in our terms of our, for the rainy day. We try. I try it all the time. It's very difficult, but you got to put it away for that bad time. Keep your eyes open. So, I mean, don't jump on the bandwagon and do what your neighbor is doing just because he's making money. Now you start doing the same thing, you're going to split
the same.
So if
the street
market.
Has the same business.
So what's the benefit there? You're all sharing the same market. Mm-hmm. Relying on your support structure and not siphoning out, taking out for yourself. There's always that temptation to live above your means. You want to keep taking it out. Now,
when the business is making money, I'm making money.
Correct. Now if you keep it in the business, it's for the growth of the business.
Right.
But if your business is making you 1,000 and you're taking out 900, that 100 is not going to do anything for the business.
No.
You got to do it the other way around, possibly.
Yeah.
Because the sacrifice now is going to help you enjoy it later.
Right, right. What's your next song choice? I guess your fourth.
Let's talk about something mild for now. Let's talk about Kenny G.
Kenny G.
The melody. Let's listen to that. It's a bit of instrumental.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.
It's been many, many years now. You've practiced your more content. You know, life is...
There's more I want to do. I want to say content, but there's a lot more I want to do.
There's a lot more to do.
Correct.
What do you, is that in your line of work?
Or? Line of work, I mean, there's a lot I want to in terms of growth and expand. Mm. As now, that is the parent in me coming out as my children grow.
Yeah.
There is more and more they need always.
Yes.
As they grow, there's more clothes they need, more extracurricular activities, school fees keep climbing up. So yes, there is more to earn and give them back.
So you have to work harder.
And
you wanted my parents did for me.
And what my parents, I mean, in our culture, okay, what I was lucky enough, my parents and my family gave my seed capital to start my business.
Oh.
When I got married, they bought me an apartment.
Oh, wow. And is that sort of tradition? It's not synonymous tradition. Just for you guys.
Not all families do it, but in our culture, it happens quite a bit.
Okay.
That's
the family of...
Big wedding, whatever it is. Man and women, both.
Oh, okay.
Even for, now, I mean, it's gone. Those days of the men getting in, inheriting everything has gone. Now we share. We're opening up.
True.
So, yes, we're Indian roots, but now we are sort of East African, I would say. And our mentality is a bit different to the typical Indians. We still feel that when we sit and talk with people from India. Mm-hmm. Their way of thinking is a bit different to ours. I wouldn't say good or bad, but there's a way of different things.
Yeah.
So... I mean, my sister will inherit the same amount I would from my parents, for example. We never ask what it could be, or what it is.
Right.
Obviously. Mm. But it's something I want to leave back for them, some capital for them, for future, pay for them. So yes, there's a lot of work to do, not only for myself, but now as getting a bit more, I mean, earning a bit more, that it's time to give back more and more to society.
Yeah.
So yes, I do work a lot in our organizations, what we call a Luhana community member, Luhana school I talked about.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of charitable events. I run the school as a chairman. I've got a principal running it, for example. I'm part of the Freemason Society, so I help with a lot of charity organizations there, charity events there. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's time to give back also.
I find that because there are different, I think sects is the word, religious sects for Indians. Which do you...
I'm Hindu, but I'm Gujarati. Gujarati is our culture, our mother tongue, I would say.
Okay.
It's not a religious sect. Religious, we're Hindu.
Okay.
But again, practicing, I follow, but I don't practice.
Right. Yeah. Help me and probably the listeners understand, because even the ones who are very learned, very well read, because it's not synonymous with our country and traditions, it's something people always find different. I've learned a word from you. Different. Not bad or good, just different. Where in the Indian community, if you were to get married, as much as my husband would have paid dowry, it's the other way around.
So it's there. I mean, it's a token. It's again, in our culture.
Okay, a token.
In India, it still happens. But I don't even know what my wife paid dowry or whatever.
Did she?
It's a very... they say it's for upkeep. Now, this... I could be
upkeep
wrong.
Upkeep for who?
For the wife coming in. So in the past, there used to be the family. I mean, I've heard stories about which funny.
Okay.
Would be like the wife's or the lady's family would come in and give like a bed or housing utensils or something for setting up the house. That would be a dowry or something like that. For us, I remember it could have just been a token if it was like $10 or $1 even.
Right.
It exchanged hands, like just for the
formality.
Yeah, for the formality of it. But whether it really, really exists in our East African culture so much, it's not there.
Mm.
Very minimal.
Okay, so when you say it like that, because we thought the same way here, maybe 15 cows or 20 cows will be paid or the equivalence in money. We thought that's the same thing. But you're saying it's just a token. It's just a token.
There's nothing much that happens.
And actually what I hear you describing in the first instance where you say the family of the lady would... buy a few things for you to start off your home sounds a bit like my tradition, which is Okhinjra, which in our traditional ceremony, my family would Okhinjra me or, you know, send me off properly. And the properly would mean that they would get all these gifts, quote unquote. And the gifts could be anything from your father saying, here's an apartment for you to have.
Correct.
Or it could be cows, or it could be actual things you can use in the house, you know, say pots and pans and tables.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, and that's tradition because that's given to the girl to go set her up.
So that still happens. I mean, they'll give you something that you come with, whatever it is, but in the formal sense of the dowry that has to be asked and given, it's a token.
Oh dear. Okay, so we got it wrong.
So it doesn't exist so much now.
No.
I mean, okay, here. Maybe in India it does, but again, I can't speak for them.
Right. But you said the future is still, you know, you're still going. You're not that old, so, you know, you've got a couple of years.
41.
Yeah, 41. 41 is like 22, right?
Yes. I feel young.
Yeah.
Feel good. A lot to do. You know, ultimately you have to figure out, I still haven't figured out your purpose. What our purpose in life is. Mm. What did God put us on this planet for? Mm-hmm. Was it for me to be an aesthetic doctor, a father for two and a husband? I don't think so. I think there's a lot more.
Really?
I have to keep striving to find out. You got to give back. You can't just keep taking.
Mm.
You have to give back. You have to leave the world a better place.
Then you found it.
Then you found it, which is hard, but you need to do that. I mean, that's if something I would want our listeners to listen to, take on, is try figure that out. Push in and give back and improve. Mm-hmm. I wake up with a smile, give a smile, improve somebody's life every day.
Yeah, and it's true about leaving the world better than you found it. I think also we're a bit clogged down with looking for money.
You all need it.
I also don't know if there's an amount called enough.
There isn't. No, that's very important because what you have today is enough for, you always want something
more.
You travel economy class, you want to travel business class or first class.
And first
you drive
class,
a Toyota, you want a Mercedes or Toyota, you got a RAV4, you want a Prado or a Land Cruiser. You always want the next big thing. It's human nature.
Mm.
And I envy those people who are content, can walk away. And I mean, that is growing up. I'd say that is growing up. That is being mature.
Mature, yeah.
When material things no longer interest you.
I don't know many people who...
Very few. My father's one of them, I would say.
Really? Well,
sometimes he does like his material things. But, I mean, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
There are very few people who achieve that kind of bliss, I would say.
Contentment. That's
our ride in life, to get that.
That contentment. Wow. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you the first doctor? I think practicing doctor, yes.
Okay.
You are the first. Great. I'm not missed. Yes, you are the first.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I know there are lots of people who might have been, maybe they're in your path or want to go in the path of doing medicine, whose mind has been open to not just go one path. Because clearly, if you skip genetics somewhere in there and not practiced it, but...
So I also did an MBA. I've got four, so I told you.
You have
genetics
four.
Degree. I've got my medical degree. I've got an MBA, which I did in Imperial College. In healthcare management, then I've got a degree in dermatology, postgraduate diploma in dermatology.
Well, and you might
and
be...
And I'm thinking of doing law.
Oh, dear. You love school. No, but I think in your line of work, studying never ends.
It doesn't end.
What's your final song as you send us off?
Finish off with, I'll say, Bon Jovi, It's My Life. Because we've talked about my life.
I love that one. I love Bon Jovi. Great stuff. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's it for Desert Island Disc. Good night.
Song for the broken hearted. A silent prayer for faith departed. I ain't gonna be just a face in the crowd. You're gonna hear my voice when I shout it out loud. It's my
Desert Island Discs with Flavia on Capital FM. Fresh hits for Uganda.